Morning. Good to see you here today. Let's pray together. We'll have our Bible study. Father, we've come here this morning out of love for you. And we've come and we've lifted our hearts and our minds to you in worship and praise. And now, Father, it's our desire to hear from you. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts, open the ears of understanding, give us revelation of the Word of God today. I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the life-changing power that's in the Scriptures. If we will learn to apply the Scriptures to our life and allow your Holy Spirit to bring that seed of the Word into full fruition in our lives. Lord, as I share the Word today, I pray that you would take these simple Scriptures, break open this bread of life, feed our congregation, feed me, that we might grow up strong spiritually and live faithfully for you in the week that's ahead. I pray that you would help us this hour to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 35, toward the end of the chapter there. Jesus is being questioned by the Pharisees. He's being tested, actually. That's what's happening here. They're trying to trap him in some kind of a misstatement or something like that to bring accusation against him. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of them are coming one at a time to question Jesus. And then a lawyer comes. Verse 35 tells us, it's a scribe, and he asks Jesus a question, testing him. He says in verse 36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and the foremost commandment." I want us to go back to our previous Bible study before our Easter break last week, and we talked last week about the resurrection. But today I want to go back and finish our Bible study that we've been doing on the subject of the love of God and kind of wrap it up and bring it to a conclusion. Then we'll move on to something else next week. But as we've been sharing with you concerning the message of the love of God, I think it's just vitally important that we really do understand that this really is the key to everything else. If we can love God with all of our heart, we can learn to love one another. When we love the Lord, faith in the Lord grows. Faith causes God's Spirit to be released in power in our lives, and awesome things happen. Love can touch other people's hearts, can cause even our enemies to turn around, to come to know the Lord. Love is just a powerful thing. There's nothing more powerful than God's love. And you and I have been put here in this world to show the world God's love so that they can know Him. And as we've said before in our series, you know, the church has really done a pretty lousy job over the centuries of loving people the way that God loves people. But we want to go back this morning and just finish this series of messages to you. We've talked about the fact that, first of all, that God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us just like we are. He loves us no matter what we've done, okay? God's not always pleased with us, but He always, always loves us. And all we've got to do to be back in right standing with the Father is to turn around. Just turn. The Bible word for it is repent. Just turn back to God and love the Lord with all of our heart. It is the key to life. God is always there for us. Nothing, by the Bible says, can separate us. Nothing can cause God to ever stop loving us. No matter what we do, no matter how long we do it, nothing that we can ever stop God from loving us. God is love. And God loves us with a love that is unconditional, that never ends. We defined love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind, all of those things. And we saw how all of those things applies to God's love for us. God's patient with us. God is so patient with us. Some of you came to know the Lord at a fairly early age. I was in my early 20s. I was raised in church. I had churchianity. I didn't have Christianity. I had a religion called Christianity, but I didn't really know the Lord. And I went through a lot of the things that, you know, typical teenagers go through and the things that they do and just foolish nonsense and things like that. But God was patient. And God continued to love me in spite of the things that I was doing. And at the proper time, He opened my eyes when the moment was right and everything was in place. And God opened my eyes to see who He was. And God brought me home. God made me a son. And God is always patient with us. The Bible says that God is that love is kind. And God is kind towards us. He's continually kind toward us and desiring to lead us in that kindness to repentance. He's always there for us, always forgiving us, desires the very best for us, always working. The Bible says God works all things together for our good and for His glory. Now think about that for just a moment. I mean, think about the messes that we've made of our lives, and God is still somehow working in the midst of the mess to turn things around for us and to work things out for our lives. I think some of us have made God put in a little overtime, I think, on some of the messes that we've made. But God is still faithful. God is still there. And God still loves us. And so we talked about how God loves us. We talked about how because of that we receive God's love, we are to love one another in the same way. That same unconditional way. That same never-ending way. That same committed way we're to love one another. Putting each other first. Putting others above ourselves, sacrificing for each other, giving to each other. When somebody has need, doing whatever we can to see to it that that need is met. And by the way, when we talk about giving and sacrificial giving, we're talking about giving to people that maybe aren't even going to be able to pay us back. You know, back in Jesus' day, that was sort of a strange idea. The idea of giving wasn't so strange, but the idea of giving to somebody who couldn't give back to you was. When you went to give to somebody, you always made sure they'd be able to give it back, and that way you'd at least break even, see? And so when Jesus came along and He said, give, and give to those who can't even pay you back, that was revelation to those people back in those days. Well, sometimes it is for us too. And we need to give sacrificially, not expecting people, as Jim already, not expecting from people to give back to us, but looking to the Lord and knowing that God's going to meet all of our needs. Giving of our heart, giving of ourselves, forgiving. God is forgiving, a forgiving God. The Bible says He's washed away all of our sins, removed them as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. And we're to forgive. Let's, while we're on this, look over with me quickly at Ephesians chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, the first part of chapter 5. Just to comment on the issue, the subject of forgiveness, because we could teach a whole series just on that subject alone, but I do want to highlight that because it's so important that we understand that forgiveness is love in action. Forgiveness is love in action. And the scriptures teach us this in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 30. The Apostle Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what that means? You know how we grieve the Holy Spirit? It's when we don't let Him have control of our life. It's when we don't do what the Holy Spirit's wanting us to do with our lives. It breaks the Father's heart. God knows what we need. God has a plan for our life. He knows what we need to be blessed and to be happy and to be full of joy and to have the peace and all of these kinds of things. He knows what it takes and He has a plan to get us there. And it breaks His heart when we go in a different direction or we don't do the thing that He's wanting us to do to get where He wants us to be. It grieves the Holy Spirit. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And here's what we need to do. He says, look, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Boy, stop right there. Just as God has forgiven us, we're to forgive each other. Well, that's the forgiveness of the Lord is just an absolute thing. It's just there. It's just out there. And it's never ending. And He's not taking it back. And we're to forgive each other with that same attitude. Continue on in the fifth chapter. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. In other words, when we walk in forgiveness toward one another, we're being an imitator of God who forgives all of us our sins. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. This is how you walk in forgiveness. You walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And so we talked about how God loves us. We talked about how we need to love one another. This morning I want to wrap up this whole thing by talking about how you and I need to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. He loves us, we love one another, but we also must love Him. And I want to do it in a little different way this morning. I want to do it by using a story from the Old Testament. If you'll turn with me over to the book of 1 Samuel, I want to read several passages of Scripture from 1 Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 18. While you're looking at that real quick, I'm going to turn another scripture. I meant to read it a minute ago and I forgot, but I'm going to read it now because I like it. It's one of my favorite scriptures from the Old Testament. It's in the book of Deuteronomy in the 30th chapter. Moses, by the Spirit of the Lord, just tells us exactly how love is the key to life. It's the key to life. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel as they are on the border of the promised land. They're at the Jordan River. They're about to cross and to go into the promised land. And God calls them to account and says this through Moses. He says in verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, I'll call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life. Now, you know, you would think, given those options, nobody would have to give you a hint. Life, death, blessing, cursing, your choice. And God doesn't leave it to chance. He says, choose life. Choose. And then he tells us how to choose life. Watch. Choose life. In order that you may live, you and your descendants. Here's how, verse 20. Choose life by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you might live in the land where He's taking you. Listen, He says, this is your life. This is your destiny. This is your call. This is your purpose. This is your place of blessing. This is your place of glory. This is your place of abundance. This is your place of peace. This is your place of joy, of happiness. Here it is. Love God. Pretty simple, isn't it? We make life a whole lot more complicated than it really needs to be. He says, just love God. Love God. So I want to show you this morning in a picture of a relationship between two gentlemen in the Old Testament, a picture of this love. Now, actually, we could use this picture to talk about the love of brothers, man to man, sister to sister, that kind of love. But I want to we'll just do it both ways. How's that? We'll use the same story as a picture of loving one another, but also of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and meaning. Let me show you how we can do that. Let's just read a couple of verses to get started. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. It says in verse 1, now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war. Let me explain what this passage is all about. Let's talk about who these people are. Okay? Let's identify the players that we'd be talking about here. First, there is Saul. Saul is the king of Israel. First king of Israel, by the way. Saul was a man tall in stature, a big man, the man that you would look at and say, that guy ought to be king. In fact, that's exactly what Israel did. They said, that man ought to be king. He shouldn't have been. Saul was a carnal man, a fleshly man, not a godly man, not a man who sought the things of the Lord. And so he can be a picture for us in our story today of a man of flesh. Let's say it that way. The man of flesh. Human nature, if you will. Then there's Jonathan in the story. Jonathan is Saul's son. Jonathan, then, is the heir to the throne in Israel. Okay? Keep that in the back of your mind. Saul is the king. Jonathan is his son. And so Jonathan is the heir to the throne. Then there's David, who's mentioned here. Now, this is David who will be king. This is David of the story of David and Goliath. In fact, the chapter previous to this one, 1 Samuel chapter 17, is the chapter that has the story of David and Goliath, one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible. And the victory that David wins over Goliath and chops off his head and delivers the armies of Israel. And because of that, Saul takes him into his house so that he sits at the king's table and lives with the king. And the king sets him over his over his army to go in and out and do battle on their behalf. Now, so that's the natural picture. I want you to see a spiritual picture, though. I've already identified Saul as a man of flesh, okay? I want to identify David as the man of the Spirit. In fact, we can take David and we can make David a picture of Jesus himself. He is the king. He will be the king of Israel. Jesus, of course, is our king. He is a man with a heart after God. Jesus, of course, had a heart for the Father. He is a man who brought unity to the nation of Israel. And Jesus is bringing unity, believe it or not, to his body in the earth. Made the two, Jew and Gentile, one. David prophesied of the Lord Jesus. We looked at that last week in Psalm 17. One of the prophecies that he spoke was a prophecy that ultimately was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews know that it's the son of David who will be Messiah. Jesus is called the son of David. And so David, in a lot of ways, can be a picture for us of the Lord Jesus. And I want to use him that way in our lesson today. We're going to see him as a man of the Spirit, or even as Jesus himself. So we're going to look at this on a lot of different planes. I hope you're with me. Anybody lost? Everybody with me? Let's start there. Everybody with me? All right. If you lost, say, oh my. All right. So we're good. We got Saul. He's a man of flesh. We've got David. He's the man of the Spirit, or a picture of the Lord Jesus. In the middle is Jonathan. Okay. And he's going to be kind of like us. Because what we're going to see in the story is that Jonathan is going to have to make choices between the flesh, father, Saul, and the Spirit, David, his best friend. Okay? So let's go on to the next passage of Scripture this morning and over to the next chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 19. Just another comment or two. Let me finish. I didn't say everything I needed to hear about the 18th chapter. Where it says in verse 3 and 4, Jonathan and David made a covenant. Jonathan stripped himself of his robes and put it on. Now remember that he's the heir of the throne. This is the king's son. And he takes his robe and his sword and he gives it to David. Okay? And so they make a covenant together. They have a relationship together now. They have a kinship together. They have a commitment to each other. They love each other with a committed love. And this committed love says this: I will always have your back. I will always be there for you. Whatever you need, I'll see to it that you have it. This is a commitment that they're making to each other out of this love that they have for one another. Okay? But now let's go over to the 19th chapter and let's see how all this plays out. Now Saul told Jonathan, his son, and all the servants to put David to death. What in the world? What's happening here? Why does he want David? Here's the issue. Here's what happened. When David went out to battle, if you remember when he went out and fought against Goliath, and he comes back, the people in Israel are rejoicing. And they're singing this little ditty. They made up this little song to sing, and it irritated the king. The song goes like this: Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his tens of thousands. And so Saul becomes a little suspicious of David. Understand, this is not a democracy. These people don't vote for rulers in those days. The way you got to be ruler is you're either born into the family that rules or you just take the throne. Okay? And that's the way things worked back in those days. And so here is Saul, and he sees that David is admired and adored by the people, and the people are praising David more than they're praising him as king. And so he gets just a little bit jealous and a little bit suspicious, and he's a little bit concerned. If David is rallying the people to himself, he can take my throne. And so he decides the best plan of action is to eliminate David before he gets the chance to take the throne away from Saul. And so it says in verse 1 there that he tells Jonathan and all of his servants to put David to death. But now look at verse 1 again, chapter 19. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now, therefore, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I will speak with my father about you. If I find out anything, then I will tell you. Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, do not let the king sin against the servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all of Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause? So Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. And Saul vowed, as the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as formerly. Look at the position. Here's what I want you to see. Look at the position that Jonathan is put in between his father on one side and David on the other side. He's got his father, who he needs to honor. That's only right. He needs to honor his father. That's Bible. But his father is a man of flesh. His father is not a man who's obeying God. His father is not a man who would have a heart for God. On the other hand, there's David over here who loves the Lord, who wants to do the will of the Lord, who is Jonathan's best friend. Now he's put in the middle and he's got to choose between the two. Which am I going to choose? Am I going to choose Pop or am I going to choose David? Which one am I going to go with? Which one am I going to ultimately be loyal to? You know, if you profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're often faced with similar choices, really every day of your life. You're faced with choices of loyalty. Who are you going to be loyal to? You're going to be loyal to your coworkers who maybe want to go somewhere and do something that's not a godly thing and you know it's not right and you probably shouldn't be a part of that. Or you're going to be loyal to your Lord. You're going to be loyal to Jesus. You can take a stand for God. You could be loyal to your friends at school. Yeah, maybe they're into some stuff they shouldn't be into. Maybe it's some drugs, not the heavy stuff, you know, just marijuana. After all, that's legal some places these days. Just a little bit of stuff going on. Are you going to be loyal to your friends? But you know in your heart you shouldn't. Or are you going to be loyal to God and to righteousness and what you know God wants you to do with your life? We're always having to make choices every day to show our loyalties. What are they going to be to? Who are they going to be to? When we do pre-marriage counseling, one of the things that we share with people in a counseling session is the need for the prospective bride and groom to be on the same page spiritually. And here's the reason for that. Here's the reason the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Whether it's in a business, whether it's in a marriage, whatever it might be. In a business, for example. You might have a business partner. When things get a little tight, he may want to do something a little bit unscrupulous. He may want to do something just a little bit underhanded. And now you've got to decide, are you going to compromise and go the way of your partner and be loyal to this one that doesn't walk with God? Or are you going to be faithful to the name of the Lord and to integrity and trust God for the situation here? In the marriage counseling, we tell the bride and groom, look, you guys need to be on the same page because listen, particularly in the fact we won't even do a marriage where one of the parties doesn't profess to be a believer. And the Bible just simply says, don't do that. And we won't be a part of that. But even so, listen, husbands and wives going into a marriage need to be sure they're on the same page spiritually, because if they're not, listen, the time will come when you will be challenged where your loyalty is concerned. Where are you going to be loyal? You're going to be loyal to your new spouse, who maybe doesn't want to go to church all the time anymore. Or you're going to be loyal to God. That's why you need to be on the same page when you go into a marriage relationship. But we're always called to make choices. We always have those opportunities put before us to go the way of the world, to go the way of the carnal man, the man of flesh, Saul's way, or to go David's way, the man of the Spirit, the godly way, the man after God's own heart. And Satan will do everything he possibly can to tempt us and try us in order to get us to kill our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in our story here, Jonathan goes to Saul and he tells him what's going on and smooths things out for his best friend David and Saul. And so David is brought back into the house for just a little while. But it doesn't take but just a little while. One more victory by David. The people are cheering for David again. And Saul goes off his nut one more time. Tries to spear him through. Tries to throw a spear through David and put an end to his life. And David finds himself on the run again. Jonathan renews his covenant love with him. Look over the 20th chapter. Guys, we're seeing a picture here with Saul, with Jonathan and David. We're seeing a picture of what true committed love is all about. We're also seeing a picture of what it means to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being. Our willingness to give up everything for the sake of the Lord. At the king's table, David's seat goes empty for several days, and Saul once again becomes suspicious of what's going on with David. So look down at verse 27 of 1 Samuel chapter 20. And it came about the next day, the second day of the new moon, that David's place was still empty. So Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to the meal, either yesterday or today? And Jonathan then answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. For he said, please let me go, since our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to attend. And now I have found favor. If I have found favor in your sight, please let me go away, that I may see my brothers. For this reason, he has not come to the king's table. Look at verse 30. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do you not know that you're choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Therefore now send and bring him to me, for he must surely die. But Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, why should he be put to death? What has he done? Look at verse 33. Then Saul hurls his spear at Jonathan, his own son, to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. Saul realizes that Jonathan has chosen David over him. And he turns on Saul, on Jonathan, and tries to kill him. You and I will find when we truly sell out to the Lord Jesus, here's how you can know that you've really given your heart to the Lord. When you've sold your heart to the Lord, you've given yourself completely to the Lord, and you truly love him with all of your heart, sometimes old friends won't be happy with you, and they will turn on you. They will dump you. They will leave you. Because when you give your life to the Lord, you become a new person. You become a different person. And they don't want to be with that kind of person anymore. You know, sometimes even in church, church people will turn away from you if you get too serious about Jesus. You can get too saved for some church people. And they don't want to be around you either. But listen, the Bible says we're to love the Lord. Somebody said, well, don't you think maybe you guys are just loving the Lord too much? And my thought was, well, how can you love the Lord too much when the Bible says you're to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What's left? You're to love him with everything you've got. How is it possible to love the Lord too much? And so sometimes when we give our heart complete to the Lord, people will turn against us because of our new walk with the Lord. Jonathan experiences that, even from his own father, who tries to take his life because he's committed himself to David. Remember, David is our type of Christ. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 23. I want you to see in Jonathan a person who is willing to give everything for his friend David, our type of the Lord Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 23, down at verse 15. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Thus he said to him, now listen to what Jonathan says. Remember who Jonathan is. He's the son of the king. He's the heir of the throne. This is a man who's going to be king of Israel. Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Thus he said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you. And you, listen to what he says, you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. Saul is willing to give up everything for David, even his kingdom. He's willing to give his kingdom for David, our type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the heir to the throne, but he's willing to give it to David. The question is, do you and I love the Lord enough to give up our kingdoms for him? Do we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being? Where is our loyalty? You know, sometimes we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we love the Lord pretty good. I would encourage you to do this. Because we can deceive ourselves, ask somebody else how well you're doing. Ask a friend. Ask somebody that you run around. Here's the question you need to ask. If you really want to know how well you're doing in the department of loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and being, ask the people that you run around with this question. Hey, is it obvious to you that I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart and that I'm living my life to bring glory and honor to Him? Ask them that question. See how they respond. If they laugh at you, probably not doing too well. We can deceive ourselves, but sometimes our friends will tell us the truth. Ask them, how well am I doing? Jonathan was loyal to his father, but he was loyal also to David and was willing to give everything to David, even his kingdom. You and I have been called to give everything to God, everything to the Lord. How many of you understand today? Listen, it already belongs to God. I don't know why we think it somehow still belongs to us. How do we possibly think our lives still belong to us and we have rights to choose? The Bible says we've been bought with a price and we belong to God. The Bible says we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ and we belong to Him. He has purchased us, see, and we belong to Him. When I purchase something, it belongs to me. It belongs to me to decide what I want to do with it. When I go shopping somewhere and I buy something from the store, when I take it out of that store, it doesn't belong to the store anymore. They can't tell me what to do with it. It's mine. I bought it. Well, listen, guys. Jesus has purchased us. We belong to Him. We are not our own. We belong to Him. The picture of Jonathan is a fascinating picture because it is a good picture of dedication, of love, of commitment, of giving all. But you know, there's another picture we can see of Jonathan that's not quite as pleasant. And it's this. Jonathan was loyal to his father. And that's a good thing. But remember that his father is not a godly man. He is the man of flesh. And Jonathan, though loyal to him was a good thing, he would never leave his father. Do you know that Saul and Jonathan both died in the same battle? Both lost their lives together? Because Jonathan stayed with his father, the man of flesh, it cost him his life. Listen, guys, how many of you know when we make the choice to walk by flesh and not the Spirit, we make the choice to stay in the flesh, it's going to cost us our life. It's a choice we make. It's a choice we make. No, let's don't choose the man of flesh. Let's choose the man of Spirit. Let's choose life. How do we choose life? By loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our being. Father, help us to love You completely and totally and to surrender everything to You. As we close our service this morning, I want us to spend a few moments in prayer together. The guys have already prayed for me, and I'll just share with you my issues. I have, earlier in the week, I ate some things that I should not have eaten. Most of you know that I have problems with reflux disease, and the things that I ate put the reflux in overdrive and burn up my esophagus, and my chest and back have just been in pain all week long and I haven't been able to eat anything. And so, got to learn to behave, got to learn to eat right. Anyway, I appreciate your continued prayers for my healing. I tried to eat a little something last night and it just did not work. But I appreciate your prayers for my healing. The The good news is that I'm losing the holiday weight that I put on, so that's a good side to it. But anyway, I'd appreciate your prayers. David Gallier asked us to be praying for his mom, Betty. Betty is back in intensive care in the hospital. She has pneumonia in her lungs. Dave, what was the surgery that she was going to have? Okay. All right. And, you know, just everything complicates everything else where Betty is concerned. And she's supposed to be on dialysis, and she can't do that because of the illness. And she's on fluids and things because of the illness, which aggravates the dialysis need and all of these kinds of things. So it's just everything back and forth. And so Betty really needs our prayers this morning. And so we want to lift up Betty to the Lord and ask for His grace one more time in Betty's life today. And so let's start with Betty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll just pray from that point on as the Lord would lead us. Let's pray together. Father, as we've studied your love over the last number of weeks together, we have seen that that love is indeed unconditional. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to make it stop. And you're a loving and gracious and kind and good God, and we know that and praise you for that. Lord, we just come to you on Betty's behalf this morning and pray for favor in her life one more time and ask you, Lord, to bring healing to her ailing body once again. God, would you make her completely whole? Make her completely whole, Lord. And let me ask you this morning, while we're just here together and we've got a few minutes to pray together and to pray for one another, if you've got a need of some kind this morning, we'd like to take the opportunity to pray for you. Whatever the nature of that need is, it's not important for us to know details or anything like that. But if you've got a prayer request today or a need personally, let's start with personal things before we pray for others. Is somebody here this morning, you have a personal need of the Lord's favor in your life for healing on your body? Would you stand up right where you are this morning and we'll pray for you? Ask the Lord's favor in your life. Several of you, please stand. Be included in our prayer this morning. Father, as we've made a call, an invitation for prayer this morning, we've done so that people need to express their faith by standing. And these that are standing today are doing so, asking for prayer, believing that you'll answer that prayer. And so we add our faith to theirs today, Father. We pray for Helen and we pray for Kim. We pray for Julie, for Karen, for Angel. We pray for Debbie. We pray for Naomi. Lord, you know exactly what the needs are. It's not necessary for us to know. You know. We're here today, Father, to ask for your grace in their lives, that you would touch them, you would strengthen them and make them whole. Thank you, Father, for showing yourself strong on their behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's do it this way. If you're here this morning and you have a need, and again, we don't want to embarrass anybody by asking specifics or details, but let's just put it this way. If you have, let's use the word family, because that can just incorporate so many things. It can incorporate a financial need. It can incorporate a need with children. It can incorporate a need with parents. It can incorporate a need with a spouse, maybe a marriage that needs prayer. If there is a family need, where you are concerned, would you stand and let us pray for your family today? Again, the Lord knows the details. The Lord knows the details. Amen. 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 And you know them all, Father. You know them all. From Luke to the Garnets and Mel and Anna, Julie and the Edmonds and Becky, Michelle Marie, Angel, the Eubanks and Karen, every one of them, God. And they are all so dear and precious to you. Lord, you know the specific need that each of these people are standing to represent today. We bring that need to you, trusting that you are able and that nothing is too difficult for you. We pray for your intercession in the homes, the families, and the needs represented by these who are standing here now in the name of Jesus. We pray that your will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray that that divine order would be established in homes, families, finances, relationships, and in every way, things would be brought to order, to your order. We thank you for working even now, Father, in ways that we can't see and won't even understand. But we trust you're working even now to answer the prayers of all of these who have stood to request prayer for family needs. And we thank you for hearing, and we thank you for answering in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask one more question, and I know just about everybody in the room here this morning, so I know that you've made a profession of faith, and that's awesome. But you know, I asked a question a little while ago, and maybe it struck you, maybe it struck a nerve. And I asked you, do you really love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and being? To ask a friend to let you know how well you're doing. Maybe when it was put that way, maybe it struck a chord in your heart. And maybe you realize, you know, I used to really be on fire for God, and now I'm not really walking with the Lord the way I ought to. And I don't know how my friends might answer that question anymore. You know, today would be a good day. Right now would be a good opportunity to start all over with God and to say, you know, Lord, I make a decision today. Just as Jonathan and David made a covenant together, God, I want to renew my covenant with you today. And I want to tell you how much I love you and how grateful I am for you and for all that you've done for me. And God, I just want to love you more and more every day. If you want to love God more and more every day, would you stand right now and let me pray with you? And please notice that the pastor is standing this morning. Lord, we do want to love you more. Deep within our hearts, we want to know you. We want to love you. We want to experience your presence. We want to know the abundant life you've destined for us. We want to walk in the powerful witness that will be ours when we walk in your love. Lord, when we experience your love, then we can go and share that love and give it to somebody else. Lord, we want to know you. We want to love you more and more. We need your help. Holy Spirit, come and help us to do what we can't do on our own. Help us to love our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Thank you, God. Lord, we stand in your presence, and our stand is our declaration to you now. I surrender. I surrender. I give it all to you. As Jonathan gave David his kingdom, Lord, we give you our kingdoms. We give you our lives right now. We surrender. Take our lives, Lord, and make them what you want them to become. Fulfill your plan, your destiny, your purposes in all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Father, we know that to be the call of your church in this world today. We are here not to live for ourselves. We are not here to amass what we can to ourselves before we leave. We are here to see how many people we can tell about you before we depart this world. Father, we ask for your help in accomplishing that goal. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our hearts so that we can love one another and so that we can love the world in your name and be courageous and bold to tell them about Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for renewing us in your love today. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit on our lives today, that the purposes of God can indeed be accomplished through each and every one of us as we surrender ourselves to you in this hour. So, Father, as we leave this place this morning, I do pray that our time here together has been a fruitful time, a truly life-changing time. And the commitment we've made here in these moments this morning, we will remember beyond the doors of this building, and by your grace, we will walk it out. So go with us as we leave this place today, Father. Watch over us and keep us. Use us to the end of our days for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask this prayer and all of these prayers, thanking you in advance for the answer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord.